Thanks for joining us today here on Alamo City Church Sunday Sermons with Pastor David Walker.
Good morning and bless you in the name that is above every other name. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time you say his name, you are declaring who he is and what he does. The name Jesus means rescuer, deliverer, the one who reaches down into whatever the mess has been of our lives, and he's able to take hold of us there and bring us out of it and bring us into a new place of living and being. So we praise the name of our deliverer, of our rescuer, of the one who wasn't so ashamed of us and so turned off by us that he wouldn't dare to rescue us from where we were. It's important not to forget what the Lord has brought you out of and what he's brought you into. It's very important. Every time we speak his name, my Jesus, my Savior, that means I'm saying he's my rescuer, he's my deliverer. Have a lot of friends, have a lot of relationships, but there is no relationship like the one that you have with the one who has rescued you and who has saved. We clean up real good on Sunday morning. You would never know what we used to look like, who we used to hang with, all the things that used to go on in a lot of our lives. He makes a difference, and it's not just the outside, it's a change from the inside out. I want to talk to you this morning about how 2016 can be different than 2015 and maybe other years in your life. Maybe 2015 was an easygoing, smooth, all downhill in the good sense year for you. But maybe it was a year that was tough. Maybe it was a year that was marked by some low spots. Maybe it was a year that was marked by combat in an interpersonal kind of way, even in a personal, inside of you kind of way. How can the coming year be different on the inside of us than years before? This is what we call our Seek Week at Alamo City. We will start this evening with some nightly gatherings, and we will at 6:30 this evening in this room be showing the War Room, the movie, the War Room, to start off our week. And would encourage you to be back for that. If you have a sense of wanting to participate and corporately, but you have to do it individually, in a week where we are committing the coming year to the Lord. We don't want to wake up in June and realize, you know, we haven't been here before as far as the Lord goes. We were just doing one day at a time. The Lord says you're to live one day at a time, but he also says commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. There are some anniversaries that come up in the course of a year. Some of those can be happy anniversaries, good times, good thoughts, sweet times, and those are easy. Those are a lift to your spirit. But there are also some tough anniversaries, seasons of the year when some things happened, or somebody left, or somebody died, or some job was lost, or some opportunity didn't make, and you just can hardly get past that time of year or that month in the year or even that very day without it being hard. Sometimes it can take us a month to get over something that happened on a day or during a season, and it might have been 15 years ago, 20 years ago, but every time that cycles back around, it can take us a while to get over, a while to get through. What if the Lord wants to bless you in a very personal and unique and powerful way to you personally by making some of those anniversaries not as painful, not as crippling, not as debilitating as they once were. I want to give you a phrase, and I submit it to you, the jury, as a theme for this coming year. You can write this down on the back of the shirt in front of you. If you need to remember it, write it on your hand or maybe put it in your phone. I'm not saying that this is, it's not going to be the answer for everything, but there's a lot contained in it. Here's how it goes. Commit more and carry less. Commit more and carry less. I submit to you that it is possible, if the truths contained in those four words will drop 18 inches out of our heads and into our hearts, there are a series of profound ways in which 2016 can provide for you a lighter load than 2015 was for you. Psalm 37, verse 3, I want to read for you and with you, and I hope you have your Bible, your copy of the Scripture, and you can put a date out by the side of this, or maybe the meaning of a word in the margin, something, some way. I have a series of Bibles that I've just kind of worn out over the years, and I can go back through those, and it's almost like it's a diary, like a spiritual diary. I've had dates and names and locations, geographies that were going on in my life at that time, and it was as if the Lord just seemed to bring a truth from His Word, a line or maybe a word within a verse, and it just like it jumped off the page, like He was speaking to me. And it wasn't audible, but I'm telling you, it was as real as if the Word or the words or what I got from that line at that season in my life were just all about me. And it was written, 2,500 years ago. That's the miracle of your Bible. That's the miracle of the written Word of God. All Scripture, it says about itself, is God-breathed. It's the breath of God written down, and every word is significant and important and has power. So in your own Bible, if you'll follow along with me as I read, David's word, Psalm 37, verse 4, he says, or 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. We've talked about those other verses. I want us to just camp out for a little bit on this verse 5. He says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. The verb, the Hebrew verb, the ancient language Hebrew, which is the primary language of the Old Testament in your Bible, translated into English, there will be a variety of possible options that the Hebrew words can be translated into English. The English word that the translators for the New American Standard translation of the Bible chose in verse 5 is the word commit. Commit your way. But here's what it means. Here's the rest of it. It literally means to take a burden or a load that has been put on you, or you've picked up and put on your back. And you take that load and you roll it over onto something else or somebody else in this case. He's saying you roll over onto the Lord something. It's not yours to be totally responsible for. It's not yours to be completely aware of what's happening in it. It is something that is best served when it's rolled over on the Lord. Now, what's he saying we're to roll over on the Lord? He says to commit your way to the Lord. Not the human race's way, your family line's way or your company's way, but it's amazing the strength of that personal pronoun, your way. You, nobody else can do this for us. Everybody can tell us, well, you ought to be trusting the Lord or you ought not to be so anxious. But it doesn't help what they say. If I'm walking in my shoes and I've got some stuff weighing down on me that is affecting me. So it's a choice that I have to make, commit my way unto the Lord. Now, that's an amazing word. The word way has a broad meaning, but it also has a little bitty precise step-by-step, inch-by-inch kind of precision to it. You commit your way in the sense of the broad strokes, the grand scope of your way. That means the life that you're living and everything about the life that you're living. The things physically, the things emotionally, the things mentally, the things relationally, the things professionally, the things medically, all of the things. It says you roll over onto the Lord your way. Now, we can't live our lives in big chunks, can we? We live our lives one step at a time, one second of a minute, of an hour, of a day at a time. I can't live 10 o'clock tonight right now, and neither can you. I can't live 2 months from Friday today. I got today. I've got this step. I've got this moment. And so what he's saying is, you commit, you roll over the minutia, the next step, as well as the outcome, as well as the big picture, you commit your way to the Lord. And he will do it. He will take care of it. He will handle it. He will bring it to completion. He will finish it. Whereas we can wonder, can I make this climb? We can wonder, have I got what it takes? We can wonder, who's going to take care of me? Who's going to protect me? Who's going to supply? We can wonder those things. But what David is saying, you got permission. And in fact, we have the instruction. Instead of living your year like an orphan, instead of living the steps of your life like there's no one to take care of us or what's to come next and what are we to do with all that's coming on, commit your way. Roll the responsibility of the totality of your life, including the specifics, the particulars, the minute by minute, roll it over unto the Lord. Okay. Now, since you brought it up, who is the Lord? Who is the Lord? And I figure we have a little newborn grandson. Have I told you about our little newborn grandson? Who is past, I think, his 3-month mark. And he's an infant, he's a baby, he's growing, he's getting bigger, he's starting to sit up and stuff. And when he smiles, the whole universe lightens up, you know. But if I went to little Blanton and I began to pour out on Blanton all of the things that I feel responsible for, all of the things that I can be worried about, all of the things that I need an answer to. If I were speaking to an infant, I would be wasting my time. Am I in here by myself? So it doesn't do me any good to commit my way to somebody who doesn't need more, know any more than I do, and many times less than what I do about my situation. I can commit my way to this friend, and I can try to commit my way to that parent, and I can try to commit my way to that brother, and commit my way to that preacher, and commit my way to this book. How's that working for you? It circles back around and begin to realize they're just human. They're trying their best. They love me. But they don't know any more than I do. But who does know more than you? Let me try to calm down here and get my decorum back. Who does know better than you? Who is smarter than you? Who does know tomorrow as well as he knows today? As a matter of fact, who does know December better than he does even you or I would know today? Who does? I'll tell you who it is. It's the Lord of heaven and earth. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of the Ancient of Days. The Lord God of glory. Commit your way to the Lord. And he will do it. So how can it be different in this year than last year? What if a big hunk of the problem with last year was the stuff that we felt like we had to carry? And in some ways, in a natural, there wasn't anybody else to sign the signature on the check. That there wasn't anybody else. I mean, we were the body with the name to the face that had to answer the call or follow the protocol in a situation. We were the. So how can it be that this year can be any different if it's still me and my shoe size hadn't changed and my eye color hadn't changed and still live at the same address? How can it be different? It can be different if down to the minutiae of your life, you are rolling it over onto the Lord. Now, there are two things about that you need to keep in mind. One is, he's willing, as we allow him to, he's willing to take up responsibility for the things that we commit to him. I have heard, in fact, I have said this to my wife on occasion, who happens not to be in this service, so I don't want anybody passing this on, what I just said. She would say, I need you to cover me. I need you to be a covering for me. I need you to protect, and that would be a part of our discussion. And I want to protect you. I want to cover you, but I don't know where you are. I mean, it's like trying to cover a moving target. I'm here, and I'm thinking you're here, and you're over there. And I'm not talking physically, but even emotionally. How do you cover somebody when you don't know where they are? Now, the Lord knows where you are. He knows you and me in our all A double plus, Phi Beta Kappa days, and he knows the other days when it's us, warts and all. He knows us. And he still says, your way. Yeah, your way. Commit that to me. Commit that to me. It means that we have permission to do that. We have permission. You know, with all the people the Lord's got to think about, with all the ones in heaven, all the ones still here on this earth, that he would say, put it in David's heart to write down, and we preserved all these thousands of years, and it'd be there in a word on a page sitting in your lap all these centuries later, and for God to be saying through that word on your lap, I want you, I'm giving you permission, I invite you to roll your life over on me. What a blessing. You see, he's not just interested in having our name, rank, and serial number. He's not just interested in the facts about us. He's interested in you. He's interested in who you are and what you are about and how you're wired and how you're connected and what matters to you. Commit your way under the Lord. Now, looking back over 2015, how'd we do on that? Did we wake up on Sunday and it's time to go to church? And so I grab my Bible, you know, and I head to church, and that's how I do it. I do my God thing in this compartment of my life. Here's God, and here's the rest of my life. This verse is saying, blow up your boxes. He didn't want you to feel like he's just interested in your Sundays. He's interested in every part of the way of your life. Is it for the purpose of fussing at me? Is it for the purpose of restricting me? Is it for the purpose of punishing me that he says that? No! Oh, there I go hollering again. No! Why? Because Jesus says in John chapter 10, the thief came to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you might have life, and you might have that kind of life super abundantly. So you look to the devil and you find death. You look to Jesus and there's life and freedom and a future and power. Commit your way unto the Lord. Whether you're a student, sophomore in high school, or whether you're 45 years and been married longer than you've been alive, you feel like. Or whether you're older, or whether things have changed dramatically in your life or not, for whatever reason, he still says, roll over the way of your life. All the categories, all the groups, all the types of your life to me. And then he says, and the Lord will do it. Commit more. Commit more and carry less. Commit more and carry less. For the carry less part, I want you to go back to another passage that we looked at before. But I want to take, just see if we can take it apart here, just quickly for you. I want you to get these words. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Paul's writing in prison. He's confined. He's constrained. He very likely is under, will eventually, if not now, be under penalty of death for his faith in Christ. Writing from the Philippian jail. Or from a jail to the Philippians. These were on his heart. Look at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men, for the Lord is at hand. And then he says this, folks. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And how about this for 2016? How about this next verse as reality in 2016? I'm in here by myself. How about the reality of these next words? An operative reality in our hearts in 2016, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I'm not giving you a formula for how to have all your debts paid, how to be elevated to the head of your corporation, you know, how to get a house in four states, how to drive a Maserati. But what I'm talking about is what Paul says is the way into living in rest and living in peace. Living in a place that anxiety and worry and fear does not rule you. So what does he say? Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Now, it would have been a little easier to handle if that had, from the Greek text and tenses that Paul would have used, if he's put this in the form of a suggestion. You know, I think it would just be a really good idea if you people just wouldn't worry so much. Or I think it would just be real nice and it'd honor the Lord if you just had a little less anxiety in your life. As a suggestion. As a multiple choice. It's in the imperative mood. He puts it in the form of a command. It's a command. Be anxious for nothing. Now, how much of nothing do we not understand? Nothing with an asterisk. Nothing with two or three footnoted numbers up to the side, except for you have permission to be anxious for this. Except for, because this is in that category, you are allowed to embrace that anxiety. Sorry, it doesn't say that. For nothing, be anxious. Well, how in the world, Paul, is that going to ever happen? And he answers the question. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You got one of two choices. You can embrace, coddle, excuse, allow to consume you, your particular set of anxieties, which can be different for different ones of us. You can either allow those things to own you and rule you, or you can take the better way. In everything. In everything what, Paul? In everything that makes you anxious. In every part of what you're worried about. Whenever the anxiety comes up, whenever something reminds you of something that makes you anxious about, it's a trigger to take it somewhere. You got the option of staring at your anxiety, or you got the option of staring at the one who's able to handle whatever this is. Now, is he saying that it's immediately going to get fixed? That all the ones you're worried about are suddenly going to move into some state of life where they don't need to be worried about so much? He doesn't even address that. He's not addressing anything out there. He's addressing what's going on in here. The peace of God that he talks about may not be operating in the ones you're worried about, but the peace of God can operate in you. You say, how is that fair? How is that right? Because God is God and you ain't. The Lord can handle what's going on or what's broken or what they need. You can't. It will kill you. He is God and you are not. Now, will you remind me that I said that sometime when I come in with these clouded eyebrows and you can tell I'm worried about something? In the places that we're worried, in the places that we're anxious, the Lord is saying, don't keep embracing that. No matter who it is, no matter what the condition is, there is no right for a child of God who has committed his way or her way to the Father to be stepping back into the role of God and bearing the burden that is heavy, that's so heavy only God, only the Lord can handle it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. Big word for prayer. Big with prayer. That's a particular Greek word that means all kinds of prayer. It can be declaration. We make these declarations of praise. We sing the songs of praise. We make large sweeping requests of the Lord, such as, God, I don't know what's happening with the economy in this country. I ask you to have mercy upon us as a nation. Not sure what's going on in Africa or in the Islamic world. God, I just ask you, that's prayer, the broad stroke of prayer. If you're anxious about the Middle East, if you're anxious about Wall Street, if you're anxious about the banking industry, the oil industry, make your request to the Lord. Do something with the anxiety. It doesn't have to roost in your heart. He's saying, take the anxiety, and it's to go somewhere. In everything by prayer and supplication. Here's the word for supplication. Supplication means line items. Here's the bottom line total. Here's the line item, $5, $2.75, $1.50, a quarter, $3. Down here is the total of $500. The supplication or the prayer part would be about the sum total. The supplication part is every one of those line items that can make you anxious. Something that comes up during the day, a phone call that comes in, or a thought that passes through. Make your requests based upon the little things that can trigger anxiety in your heart, that can cause you to worry, cause you to be afraid, whatever. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, Let your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving. You know, when you're young in the Lord, haven't walked with Jesus maybe for many years, you don't have that much of a library to go back to and file folders to open and be reminded, you know, I was anxious there, but Jesus handled it. I was anxious about this, but Jesus took care of it. I was afraid that this might happen, but you know, it didn't happen. My anxiety was unfounded, or maybe my anxiety was well-founded, but he's made something beautiful out of it. That's where the thanksgiving comes from. You make your requests with thanksgiving. Coming out of the things you remember that he did for you. This isn't your first rodeo, child of God, if you've walked with Jesus. You're not the new kid on the block. This isn't the first time you've ever known something to stir you. But you can step back into your personal history. And there were some times like this, but the times back then, he met you. He took care of you. He answered it. He cared for it. He brought you out. And look at you today, clothed and in your right mind, breathing air. Well, where'd that come from? He did it. You pray the big prayers for the things that make you anxious. Then you get specific about the line item matters that make you anxious. And you let those things that are fresh remind you of the old things and places where God came through for you. And so I'm thanking him for then as I stand in my present tense. Now don't look at me, please don't look at me like, you know, that's just so sweet, preacher. That's just such good preaching. I just hope somebody will hear it. Ma'am. I ain't talking to him. Sir, I'm not talking. You come through an evening with Fox News and can't sleep until 2 in the morning. Or you look at what happened to your 401k over the last week and the bottom fell out of that. Now let's talk turkey. The Lord says, don't you be anxious about anything. But with broad prayers and with specific prayers that are tied to what you are anxious about, you make your requests. You let your askings. He's not just wanting information from us. He's wanting to hear what we want. He's wanting to hear what would please us. He's wanting to hear what our desire would be. Let your requests be. You got permission to talk to him like. Or you can hunker down in your own little pity corner and just nurse your anxiety and stare at your anxiety. Oh, it's impossible. Oh, who's going to help them? What's going to happen? How's this ever going to get fixed? And just hang on to that. And you will stay there and you will get sucked into the black hole that they're living in.
That's right.
It won't help you.
Right.
What will help you? But in everything, with prayer and supplication, you let your requests be made known. If you got to take the same request 500 times in the same hour, do it. Do it until what happens? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. The peace of God, translated also the rest of God. Do you know how many things God knows are wrong on this planet? Do you know how much more he knows that's bad and wrong and about to blow up than we do? But you know how he's still described? With peace
He's not in heaven, up from the throne, wringing his hands, stomping on the floor, barking out orders. Maybe this will work. Why don't we try that? How about this one? He's seated upon his throne. He's resting upon his throne. There's peace in his heart. And he has the power to convey that rest to his sons and daughters by his Spirit. If your sense of peace and rest about things that you're anxious about is totally tied to their resolution, then you're not allowing the peace of God that passes all comprehension to have an opportunity, have a shot at you, because it's got to make sense to you. It's got to follow your logic. Here's what old Paul is saying, sitting in that jail cell, not sure he was going to get out in this life. He may go from the jail cell to the executioner's axe or cross. But he said, I'll tell you what, it's possible when you in everything, through prayer and specific prayers, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. It's possible for you to be consumed by, filled up with, overwhelmed by the peace of God that will make no natural sense. Which means the circumstances may not have changed. People may not yet be fixed. How could I be at peace when they're still broken? Well, how is being broken while they're still broken helping you today? How is marrying into, dropping down into their hole of brokenness helping you? It's contaminating you. It's making you less of the person that you could be. Let God be God and you be who you are. It doesn't mean that I'm giving up on those things. It doesn't mean that I care. It means I'm going to the source where I know they'll get help. I'm petitioning Him who knows no limits, who knows no time, to ask, and I'm taking my request here. And I'm leaving it with Him. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts, your emotions, and your minds, your logic, your thinking, your thoughts, your process. What one something can trigger in your brain that reminds you of something over here or can project that into the future, He has the ability to cause the peace of God to guard your thoughts, guard your logic, guard your emotions. So I commit the anniversary of a divorce today to Him. I commit the anniversary of the loss of a job. I commit the anniversary of the death of someone. I do it now. That was months away. But if I commit it to Him now, I'm anxious. I'm not going to be anxious as I even think about that. I make my request to Him. Lord, You know how that hurt me. You know what that felt like. It can make me sad. It can make me fearful that something like that will happen again. Lord, I'm trying to do this. I'm giving it to You. I'm giving it to You. And every time it comes back, You keep giving it to Him. Until the anxiety is exchanged for peace. You say it won't work. You don't know my situation. I don't. But I can tell you what. This is the truth, and you and I can believe lies. We can believe lies, or we can believe the truth. You say, it won't work for me. Well, what I would say to us is, maybe you're just still, you've just made a trophy out of your anxiety. This is my lot in life, to just be anxious. I'll just waltz with and dance this little thing that just tears me up, and as a result of you being torn up, it affects other people that you wish you could bless and help, but you don't have energy to do other stuff because you're nursing the anxiety. And what does the Word say? There's a way to live that you're free from that. Until such time as the things in the natural get fixed. And that's God's timing. That's the way He does it. But you know what will happen? When He does it in those lives, their attachment is going to be to the God who does it for them, not to you as an umbilical cord. And that's better.
Would you bow with me for prayer, please? Now, would you just hit a pause button for just another couple of minutes or so? Don't think about what's next. Would you just please think about what is with me? What is making you anxious today and even as you look at the coming year? Here's what the Lord says about that, and stare at that. Have that in your mind as you hear these words. Don't be anxious about that. But in everything that you can be anxious about, with prayer and specific requests, let your asking, be known to the Lord. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You see, folks, the determination of whether or not the Lord has heard your prayers, whether or not this is effective, whether or not this is working, is not whether the circumstantial position gets changed that has caused the anxiety. That isn't the point of evaluation. The point of measure is His peace in your heart. Lord, I ask you for that in the name of Jesus. I ask you for that for all of us. For all of us in all the categories of our lives. Grant to us, please, by the power of your Spirit, the ability to roll over work, to roll over family, to roll over marriages, to roll over children, to roll over health, to roll over relationships, to roll over opportunities, to roll over our past. Lord, show us what it means to roll it over onto you. And that when every time some point arises that causes us to worry or fear or be anxious, may we see that that is intended to be a trigger inside of us to take the anxiety in the form of a request to you. Not to sit with it, not to nurse it, not to embrace it, not to crust it with jewels and give permission for it to be, but to take it to you. And Lord, I'm asking that there will be stories by the scores out of this group and the ones who are hearing this declaration of your word, that there will be many reports. I don't understand it. There's a peace in my heart. There's a rest in my heart. I don't understand it, but I'm thankful for it. When the peace rises, you'll know that you're standing right in the middle of Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. That's what Paul was talking about, arrested, not with an uncertain future, no communication with the outside world except by one-way written literature. The peace of God, which doesn't make sense, has been set up as guard, as a garrison of soldiers, guarding my heart and guarding my mind in Christ Jesus. Would you grant it, Lord, I pray. And will you bless us this week, Lord, with the evenings and the days as we seek to commit the year to you. Pray you'll bless our time tonight as the movie's shown, and then Monday night and Tuesday night, and then Wednesday as we finish the formal time of this with the Lord's Supper. Meet with us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for joining us today here on Alamo City Church Sunday Sermons with Pastor David Walker. If you'd like to know more about Alamo City Church, please visit our website at www.alamocity.org.